Today we're going to be looking at a passage from 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. This is about Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha. Now, Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "It is only, if only my master could see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send you a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me." Then Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his robes. He sent him this message: "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that surely he would come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Phopar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servant went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do a great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and he dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and his attendant went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant." The prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing." And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. To understand this scripture in one way, you've got to understand that the countries of Israel, Samaria, were in battle all against Aram. And they were back and forth with each other. And the reason we know that is because it says that he has a servant girl that has been captured from Israel. That servant girl served his wife. So we've got a battle that's been going back and forth on and on again. And these are not people that are friends with one another. Naaman has been very victorious for his king. He is able to claim great victories for what he has done. But he has a form of leprosy. Now, I want you to understand that when you read leprosy in the Hebrew Bible, it's not talking about just the disease we know as leprosy today, or what's also called, I believe, Hansen's disease. Leprosy in the Old Testament was any skin disease that might be contagious. That's what leprosy was in this time. And since it might be contagious, Naaman was not allowed to be part of celebrations. He was not allowed to be in and amongst people all the time because he possibly had a contagious disease. So Naaman's not really able to celebrate his victory with everybody else. He wishes that he was healed. And the servant girl says, gosh, I wish that he knew. Naaman has a great need, and he is willing to do much to be healed. How do we know he's willing to do much? Look at what he takes with him when he does go. An enormous amount of gold and silver and clothing. He takes an incredible amount of stuff. He is willing to possibly, I believe, give everything away that he has so that he could be healed of this disease. And he's not going by himself. His servant goes with him. But I'm tending to think there's a whole lot more people that go with him. Because it says he took his chariots and his horses, plural, in both cases. So we're talking a band of people that are traveling together. He's got a letter from his king to deliver to the other king of Israel so that he can be healed. The king of Israel just sees this as a fight. That's all it is. And all this comes about because it's through a captive Israelite girl that he learns there's a great prophet in Israel. He learns there's a great prophet. And the king says, take this letter, go to the other king, and get healed, and come back. And he's ready to give everything away. Well, the king of Israel is kind of like, all he's trying to do is pick a fight with me because they know I can't heal him. And the king of Israel gets all upset about this. It says that he tears his robes and that he is very upset. And Elisha hears about this. And Elisha says, have him come to me so that he will know there's a prophet in Israel. Well, he does come to Elijah. And Elijah gives him what he needs to do. And Naaman is upset. And he's very angered by this. What do you mean that's what you want me to do? He says, I really thought that he would show me great respect, that he would come out of his house, and that he would call upon the name of the Lord his God, that he would stand in front of me and he would do whatever magical thing needs to be done, and I would be healed and could turn around and go home. So he does come to Elisha. And is angered at the simple solution. Because the simple solution is go down to the Jordan River and dip yourself in 7 times and you'll be clean. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes simple solutions just don't seem to fit. What about you? It's a real simple solution. You know, you go to the doctor and you say, my arm hurts when I do this. And the doctor says, well, don't do that. That's a simple solution, right? But we want something more complicated. We want something harder. We want, you know, doc, when I bend over like this and pick up 50 pounds, it hurts my back. Well, yeah, it should. Don't bend over that way to pick up something. And sometimes we just want something more complicated. And the more complicated it is, the better it sounds, right? Well, if I got to do this and this and this and this, yeah, that'll fix it. I'll be glad to do all of those things. And I think Naaman was probably willing to do just about anything until he found out it was so simple. And then his bias rose up in him. And when his bias rose up in him, he says, "Don't we have cleaner rivers back at home that I could wash in? Instead of this nasty, dirty water I see flowing down the Jordan River." And it says he just went away angry at this simple solution. Because I didn't have to travel all this distance to do this. I could have washed in the river at home. Now, I know some of you would say he doesn't have enough faith to be healed. Fortunately, he has a good servant. And his good servant comes to him and says, "Have you ever thought that maybe this would work? I know you're tired and sweaty from traveling a long distance, and we've really been working out to get here. And once we got here, you found out all you got to do is go down to the river. Why not take a chance?" his servant says. "Why not just take a chance and see if it works?" And I don't know. I guess I can kind of hear Naaman anyway, talking to his servant. "Well, all right. I'll give it a try." I mean, can you not hear him doing that? Because I'm not sure he's convinced yet. I think he's still going, "Really? This is all I got to do? Could have done it at home. I didn't have to take this trip. We didn't have to pack up the gold and the silver and the clothes. We didn't have to drive the horses and the chariot so hard to get here. I didn't have to go talk to the king." And he got all upset about things. "Okay, I'll go try." I'm not sure that Naaman got to the place where he was like, "You know what, servant? You're right. I shouldn't be mad about this. Let's just go do it." I don't think he really got to that place. I think he got down to the river and started to get into the river and just, "I don't really know if this is going to work." What do you think? Jerry said he heard another sermon that was done in the same way, and that as Naaman walked down into the water, he's kind of looking around to see if anybody's going to watch him do the simple thing to be cleansed. "Nope, don't see nobody. Nope, still there. I'm in the water." And he walks a little bit further in, and "Nope, still there." I mean, I really think that Naaman had a problem with this. And I really think that he wasn't expecting it to work. But he just went through the motion anyway. Have you ever just gone through the motions anyway? Especially if they give you physical therapy to do and you don't really want to do the physical therapy. And you're like, "You know what? They said if I do this, this will help, but I really don't feel like doing it. But I'm going to do it anyway because I'm going to show them by doing it it doesn't help." And I think Naaman probably was doing the same thing. "I'm going to show my servant that dipping in the water 7 times really doesn't help, because my servant needs to learn." And after the 7th time, what did Naaman find out? Finally, he washes as he's told to do, is cleansed, and believes in God. You see, I don't think his belief became beforehand. I don't think he was expecting it to work. I think he was expecting to travel back home and still have leprosy. You see, he didn't know the God of Israel at the time. He'd heard about this prophet. And if I take an arduous journey to see this prophet, and this prophet does some unbelievable things, and I'm cleansed, I'll be happy for it. But he didn't expect it to be simple. You know, sometimes it's simpler to live as a Christian than we make it out to be. It's simpler to start the Christian walk than I think sometimes we expect it to be. Because what does Scripture tell us? All we have to do is believe in what Jesus Christ has done for us. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cover my sins. And I know that there are people in this world going, but don't I have to do something for it? No, you just got to believe. That's all. And sometimes walking through the spiritual journey, there are some simple things that keep us safe on the spiritual journey. And we want it to be complicated. I need rules and regulations. I need boundaries to show me where's good and where's bad. And sometimes all we got to do is rely on the Holy Spirit and how that Spirit speaks to us. You ever heard that voice in your ear to say, do this or don't do this? Yes, I grew up on Warner Brothers cartoons with a little angel sitting on one shoulder and a little devil sitting on the other shoulder telling the person what to do, right? No, 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 do this. No, don't do that. You should do this. As a Christian, that's the Holy Spirit that's speaking to us. It's not a little angel and a little devil. It's the Holy Spirit that's telling us, yes, you should do this. What do you mean if I just tell somebody to have a nice day, it might make a difference for them? That's too simple. And you know, sometimes that's all somebody else needs. They just need somebody to pay attention to them and say, have a nice day. That's all they need. And it can make a world of difference. They need somebody to look at them and say, you know, I care for you. And I'm willing to help you. Just let me know how. Sometimes the things of faith are very, very simple. And we pass over them. Because we're looking for the great and the complicated. And sometimes we just need to do the simple things. Just reach out with love to somebody. Just sit down and pray for a moment. Because I know there's some people that would say to me, really, you believe that when you pray something, it's going to happen? And the answer is yes. I believe it. But doesn't that seem too simple? You mean all I got to do is ask? Wait a minute. What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? Ask and what? Seek and what? Knock and what? Man, you guys, you're good at memorizing Scripture. Just want to let you know that. That's a Scripture you've memorized. And for those of you that tell me you can't memorize Scripture, sounds like you did to me. All we got to do is ask. All we got to do is seek. All we got to do is knock. Oh, that's just too simple. Are we going to be Naaman? And finally come to believe in God afterwards? Or are we just going to know that our God can do that? Okay, you want me to dip in the water seven times? I'll do it. I really, really wanted to do that on Friday. Deanne and I went down to see our youngest son race at Bristol Autocross. Oh, it was desperately hot. And the times that I walked back to the bathroom, I walked past these people every time that were sitting there on a trailer with a wading pool full of nice, cool water. I'd love to have dipped seven times in that nice, cool water. Folks, sometimes it is simple. And all we got to do is put our feet to it. That's all we got to do. Naaman had to set aside his bias, set aside his anger, and just walk down into the water. That's all he had to do. You know, there's ways of God we question because they appear too simple. They just appear too simple. I want to encourage you, take the simple steps this week. And one of the simple steps that I always think about is sit down sometime in the morning and open your Bible and read about three or four verses. And just take a few moments to think about them. If I were to live by what this says here, will it make a difference? Because sometimes what Scripture tells us to do is very, very simple. Like, only say an encouraging word. That means when the thought comes to me that's not encouraging, I shouldn't say it anywhere. Isn't that a simple thing to do? I know some of you are going to tell me you can't control your tongue. It just comes out of me. Or you're going to tell me, do you know what they did to me? And that's why I said that. No, simple. Scripture says only say an encouraging word. Nothing else. I wonder what would happen if all of us practiced that this week. That we only said encouraging words to other people, no matter who they are. And no matter how wrong they might have done us. I just wonder, that's a simple thing, isn't it? So I want to ask you this. Do you need to slow down and live the simple ways of God? Because I'm convinced that sometimes we can't live the way God wants us to live because we're living too fast. We want everything now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. We want it now. That's the American way of life, isn't it? I drive up and give my order at this speaker that I can't understand what they said to me, and they can't understand what I said to them. And I drive around to the next window and I pay, and I go to the next window and I get what I wanted. All within the space of 3 minutes. And if I drive up to the window and they don't have it, I'm going to have a bad day. Guarantee you. And I just want to say, why? Why'd you choose to have a bad day? Because it took 4 minutes instead of three. I think we need to slow down and just live the simple ways of God. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at Naaman's story, we can see that he had a real difficult time with something that was so incredibly simple. And that he actually probably spent more time fussing about it than it took to do it. So, Lord, we pray that you would guide us, that when you come to us with very simple things to do to live our Christian lives, that instead of fighting against you and questioning why and saying that this doesn't make sense, that we would just simply take the moment to step in the way you ask us to, so that we might bring grace and love to other people, and that they might come to know you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.